Got to get back to my baby. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home. My baby used to hook me a little.
That's the Box Tops with The Letter. Number one in 1967 on the Billboard charts. Alex Chilton, who we mentioned earlier, lead singer on that tune. And if you hear that vocal, you know how old Alex Chilton was when he sang this song? This gravelly vocaled version of The Letter with the Box Tops? 16. He was 16 years old when he sang lead vocals on The Letter for the Box Tops. And of course, success was hard to find with Big Star, though very influential in the 1970s on 80s and 90s bands. Alex Chilton, born on this day back in 1950, he died in 2010 at the age of 59. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on The Steve Gruber Show. We're joined now by Phil Wegman. You can find him on Twitter and also his work over at Real Clear Politics, where he is the White House reporter for Real Clear News, at Philip Wegman on Twitter. Phil, thanks for joining us here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So, you know, the end of the year is a time when usually there's not a ton of news happening. That's not the case. President last night coming through and signing the COVID relief bill and the omnibus bill to fund spending through September or so, $2.3 trillion in total. Phil, we all know the president had threatened to not sign the bill, wanted higher checks for Americans. What's the calculus, you think, in actually going through and signing this bill last night?
We know that the president was golfing with Senator Lindsey Graham. And normally it doesn't matter for other presidents who they golf with on the weekends, but it matters quite a bit for Donald Trump because that means that Senator Lindsey Graham was in his ear for about 4 hours over the weekend. And his argument was essentially that there was a lot of good stuff in this bill, that a lot of the spending provisions were actually introduced by his administration and were similar to the top line numbers that he requested. But this boils down to one thing, and that is that Donald Trump doesn't want to leave office being the Grinch. Instead, he wants a final deal. He didn't get much of what he wanted, but I think that looking to his own legacy, he figured that it would be better to get some COVID relief and avoid a government shutdown. I think that this one was motivated by him looking at what life would look like for him after office.
Phil, the president claimed in a statement last night from the White House that he did enact some concessions from the House and the Senate. The House supposedly today will vote on an increase in those payments to individuals to $2,000. He said the House and Senate will look at voter fraud, look at Section 230 for big tech. What did the president, in your mind, actually get from these negotiations?
Well, the president got a lot of promises from politicians, and we know how valuable those are. Look, evaluating Section 230, great. Looking at election fraud, great. These are things that the House and Senate have already been doing. They have already put together, hearings where senators and congressmen ask their preferred witnesses, their prepared questions to get their preferred talking points. Nothing is going to change when it comes to Section 230, and nothing is going to change when it comes to the outcome of the last election by putting a bunch of experts in a room with congressmen and senators so that they can pepper them with questions. Instead, that's just an opportunity for those politicians to cut campaign ads with those sound bites. I think that, this shows a little bit of unsavviness on the president's part. If he wanted to, force the issue on Section 230, if he wanted to force the issue on election fraud, he would have needed to be at the table much sooner. Instead, he kind of dropped in at the last moment. And it's interesting because he has set up this vote by essentially saying to politicians that he wants $2,000 COVID relief checks rather than the $600 that were agreed to. he's setting up a vote that will likely fail in the Senate, and that's going to be a very tough vote for Republicans with presidential ambitions, because they're going to cut right down the center between which Republicans think that $600 enough is enough as passed, or whether $2,000 is needed. It's going to be pretty ugly if it gets to the Senate.
Phil Wegman with us, White House reporter for Real Clear News, realclearpolitics.com. Phil, we got about 90 seconds here. It sounds like, hearing from the principals involved, that this is not it, right? There will be another relief bill in some form, probably early in 2021. But what form that takes is almost entirely reliant upon what happens down in Georgia with the runoff election scheduled for a week and a day from now. That very well could shape the form of this next wave of relief, yes?
The next wave of relief, as well as the next 4 years. If Republicans are able to hold on down there, then that means that they maintain their Senate majority, and Biden has to go to McConnell, not the other way around. I think that a good reflection of just how competitive and important these races are is the fact that we're talking about tens of millions of dollars being raised by Democratic challengers Ossoff and Warnock. And right now, if you go look at the Real Clear Politics average, it's a tight race. Mm-hmm. Remember, though, the conventional wisdom is that whichever side wins, they'll win together. It's a package deal. So if you get Loeffler and Perdue reelected,
right,
they go together. And if Warnock and Ossoff are successful, they rise together.
Phil Wegman, check him out at realclearpolitics.com, White House reporter for Real Clear News, also on Twitter at Philip Wegman. Phil, thanks so much for joining us here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Anytime, Scott. Thanks.
Scott Bertram in for Steve. Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over a million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.